the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah! For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, y'all.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am Coach Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. It is with a heavy heart that I greet you today because Dr. Jerry Buss, the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, passed away this morning. And those of you who know me know I'm a big-time Laker guy. I have been since 1979, and that was actually the year Dr. Buss bought the Lakers from Jack Kent Cooke and started the Showtime era by drafting Magic Johnson and turning the Lakers around into the franchise that they are today. And so today is a very sad day for all the Laker fans out there as we lose one of the best owners in any professional sports franchise business in the world. Dr. Buss was a great man. I was able to meet him several times, and the last time I met him when he was here in Phoenix for the playoffs, just happened to be sitting right in front of his owner's booth, and got a chance to speak with him for just a quick second, took a picture of him, and it was just a sad day today. So want to make sure that I acknowledge that. The only thing I didn't like about Dr. Buss was that he graduated from USC. Those of you who know my affinity towards the Bruins of Los Angeles know that I'm not a USC fan. So hopefully the Buss family will get through this, quickly and turn the franchise back around. Hopefully he left some instructions and things for his son who Jim, I don't think has done a very good job. I think in handling the coaching situation, bringing in D'Antoni over Phil Jackson and steering the Lakers in the direction that they're in right now. I question a lot of that and hope that they had some serious heart-to-heart conversations before Dr. Buss passed and he told them what's what and helped them move on in the right direction so that the Lakers can be back atop the NBA. So we're going to move on now. There's a lot of news this week, man. A lot of stuff has taken place yesterday in college basketball. You had Mike Montgomery, head coach at Cal, shove a player in the huddle, trying to motivate that player. And, he ended up scoring 23 points and they ended up winning the ball game and 10 points after the shove. And the kid was kind of lethargic and just really not into the game. And did that wake him up and the response to it and people and how they're getting all over Coach Montgomery. And some people are calling for him to have to sit a game because of punishment that was handed out earlier to another coach who had done the same thing. But Mike Montgomery is one of the cool guys of the coaching ranks where he's kind of real steady, even keeled. You don't ever see him do that. So this is his first time he was ever in a situation like this. So some people are giving him some leeway and saying, let it go. The reaction in the sports community has been a very, very aggressive today. I've talked about it on all the sports talk shows and all the radio talk shows, and it's made news across the country. Mike Montgomery did apologize. His player has said that it's over and done with. It was not a big deal to to them. The parents have even chimed in saying that they have all the respect in the world for Coach Montgomery, and they've given it a pass. So let the coach go. Stop beating it up. Stop trying to get the man suspended. One of the things I have noticed in the last several years is that there seems to be this witch hunt for coaches. You know, anytime a coach does something, there's got to be severe penalties attached to whatever the coach does. I think that there's a heat of battle situation that I think we don't see a lot of, or didn't see a lot of in the old days, because not every game was televised. Not every game was covered by cameras. Some people are comparing it to Bobby Knight and his rants and his tirades. And, you know, Mike Montgomery's no Bob Knight. You know, while I respect Coach Knight's basketball prowess and his understanding of the game, there's no way I could have played for him. I mean, I wouldn't have been successful. But there are tons of men, tons of basketball players that were very successful and love him dearly, and to this day will defend that man. So different techniques work with different players, and different atmospheres allow different players to flourish. I'm sitting here right now looking at it again on ESPN as they're running the information. And, you know, it was a quick pop to the chest with both hands. It's like, and his question to Crabb was, are you going to play? Do you want to play? Well, this is the best player he had on his squad, and the kid really wasn't getting after it. And at that moment, when he got into the player's chest, the kid reacted with a little bit of fire, and that woke him up a little bit, because he went and scored 10 points in the last 4 minutes and hit some key shots to take Cal over USC. So, like I was saying, you know, Bob Knight was a little bit of fire, and Mike Montgomery is not. Mike Montgomery is very calm, cool, and collected. And for him to snap like that in that situation, you know, I mean, there was a built-up frustration, and obviously that player needed to be snapped out of it. Now, do I condone the hands on a player? No, I've never touched a player in that way. But could I see it happening in a lot of different situations? I see a lot of coaches have gone through things where in that situation, I mean, you have to think of it too, the pressure that some of those guys are under to win, and the response, the players have to respond so quickly and elevate their game, because, I mean, they lose that game, the same group of people who now want him suspended for a game want him fired. So, you know, you just keep coaching the game and keep moving on. But he has said that he's sorry. He's apologized to the player, apologized to the parents, apologized to the team. I'm sure it's going to be water under the bridge, and Cal's going to continue on. And the athletic department seems to be supporting Coach Montgomery right now, which is a good thing. All right, next up, today's polls were released by the NCAA, the top 10 teams in the nation. And, you know, it's interesting because you got Indiana at number one, you got Miami at number two, and here, listen to this. This is interesting. You've got some teams in the top five like Gonzaga, Michigan State, and Florida. Gonzaga is the number three team in the nation right now, according to AP polls. That's huge. Gonzaga being number three in the nation? I mean, that's a little school out of Washington over there over in the shadow of Washington State, right? But you've got Gonzaga at the number three spot, and that's absolutely, I think that's great. But here's where you have the debate. Who's number one? Is it Indiana or is it Miami? And right now Miami's playing great basketball in the ACC, beating Duke and having a great run so far. And some people are saying it's Indiana and the Big Ten. You know, that's why they play the tournament coming up here pretty soon. What's noticeable is you have teams like Kentucky missing from the top 10. You have teams like Duke missing from the top five. Duke is now number six. Then you've got Michigan at number seven, Syracuse at number eight, Kansas at number nine, and Louisville at number 10. That's the top 10 in the nation right now, according to the AP polls. So you've got Indiana, Miami, Gonzaga, Michigan State, Florida, Duke, Michigan, Syracuse, Kansas, and Louisville. Now, here's the funny thing about that. If you look at these, do you see a team? I mean, would you want to meet up with a Louisville in the first two rounds of the tournament? I know I wouldn't if I was a coach. I wouldn't want to meet up with them at all. Those are some tough teams in the bottom five: Duke, Michigan, Syracuse, Kansas, and Louisville. That's rough. So that top 10 is something else. Today we're also going to take a look at the high school tournaments. Man, I tell you what, there was some great games this week, and we're going to discuss those games this week with John Perryman of Arizona Varsity, and we're going to kind of break down the current AIA playoff brackets and see if we were right or if we were wrong on some of the games that we called last week. And then we're going to try and pick the top the we'll pick the next we're in the Elite Eight now, so we'll pick the next round, see if we do, because last week we didn't pick because we wanted to just get through the first one, and then we would come back and revisit it and look at who made it through and then pick from there. And there were some absolute unbelievable games, and I'm going to hold off talking about a couple of those games until John is on the line, because I want to get his opinion on a situation that took place. One of the things that we're going to talk about here real quick before we take a break is a couple weeks back we had Coach Steve Fenimore on the show, and we were talking about foul or defend situations. We were talking about inside the last 10 seconds, you're up three, do you foul a team or do you defend against a team if you're up three and they've got the basketball? And so the question is, what's your decision? You know, foul or defend. And there's been this ongoing back and forth debate and conversation that's been taking place on Twitter. And we talked to Coach Fenimore, I guess it was 2-3 weeks ago on the show about his foul or defend study that he's conducting. Well, this weekend, one of the local schools in the state tournament was able to provide him with some more data. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So real quick, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at the AIA State Championship playoff brackets. And then we'll try and pick who's going to move on from the Elite Eight to the Final Four. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. And we'll be back after these messages.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. Moore. I'm Coach Scott Lovely. We're going to take a look here at the AIA State playoff brackets, the championship brackets. The playoffs started on Valentine's Day. It's last Thursday. You have games Thursday and Saturday. And last week, John Perryman from ArizonaVarsity.com and I went through the brackets as we picked teams that we thought would move ahead. And we had some surprise games. We had some good games that took place. And we're going to cruise through that part of it now and kind of see where we were on, where we were off. And we're going to talk about some of the great games that took place this past weekend. Let's go ahead and start with the Division II playoff bracket. And I want to welcome to the show John Perryman from ArizonaVarsity.com.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, buddy. All right. So,
crazy
Valentine's
week.
Yeah, it was a crazy week. Valentine's Day, you know, we sat down and we were watching some games. And that on that day at the Division II level, you had Cactus Shadows, Upend, Notre Dame Prep. But you know what, John? Instead of doing that, I'm going to flip some things here. Let's talk, you know, before, because there's been a lot of stuff that's taken place, and we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Before we hit the playoffs, though, John, I want to hit the coaching carousel that has already started and actually started before the playoffs started.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff going out there. It, you know, started at Chandler with Coach Ellsworth deciding not to come back, and then Coach Burns at Basha after 1 year, he's moving back to Missouri. And then, you know, it just kind of snowballed from there. You got Coach Long at Tempe called me in the middle of the week and said, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm stepping down. And then Coach Sessions at Red Mountain. And, you know, it's getting pretty crazy out there. And, I, you know, we know how this goes. It's just started. It's not even close to being over.
Yeah, this is just going to be the beginning. So you have, first off, we have Campo Verde, Boulder Creek, Skyline, North Point Prep, Chinle, Chandler, Basha, Red Mountain. Am I missing someone? I think I'm missing someone. I think there's been one or two that have opened since then, too.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And, you know, some of those are very notable. Obviously, Chinle, one of the best res schools of all time, they've got a pavilion that seats 6,000 people.
That's a gorgeous facility.
Yeah, and I don't know, a lot of listeners have probably never been to some of these schools, but Campo Verde is one of the nicest campuses in the whole state. So I've had some coaches ask me about their program, and I just don't know much about their program because it's relatively new, but I know they've got the facilities and they've got the desire to build sports over there. So that's going to be
it's a Gilbert school. Yep, it's a Gilbert school, but it's way out there. I think it's out by Queen Creek, Higley, out that direction.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a gorgeous school. They've spared no expense on that thing.
It looks a lot like Bash's complex. Has a very similar
No,
feel
it's actually designed very much different. You know, Bash and Mesquite and a few of those schools look pretty generic, almost prison yard looking. This school is just beautiful.
Oh, I thought it did. I thought it was the one that looked a lot like Basha.
Had no.
Okay.
At least
well,
the parts of it that I've
wrong
seen.
School.
I've just looked at their facilities, and boy, do they have some nice facilities for a small school. You know, I've talked to a few of these coaches during this process, and seemed to be a little bit of a theme going on with them.
Yeah. Same thing
yeah, they
as
just,
always.
You know, the landscape's changed. All the time they put into coaching and all the outside influences and everything that goes into it, it's really not the same for the old school coaches. So I got a feeling we're going to see more and more of the old regime that have been a staple of this state start stepping aside. Maybe not all this year, but it's, you know, I think this is a tell sign of what's to come.
And this is a tipping point, to be honest with you, John. I mean, I think that right now this is one of those times where you see coaches like Coach Sessions and Coach Neuendijk over at Red Mountain. They've been awesome. Their coach, I think his record over there is like a 60 win percentage. And there's no reason for the administration to want to come to him and go in a different direction. I mean, that's
yeah,
really
you know, it was like when they went to Coach Long at Horizon and said they wanted to go to a different direction over there, and I'd you know, what different direction? You mean other than winning?
Yeah, well, they've been successful at that, though, too, haven't they?
Yeah.
Same thing happened
when you drill down deep, you find out that it's, you know, a lot of outside influence that are really leaning hard on these people. And, you know, Basha, I've had a few of coaches comment that Basha's the new Chaparral, because Chaparral had gone through so many coaches in 1 year. And now Basha's going to be going on there, I think, fifth coach in 5 years, maybe.
Which is ridiculous, because honestly, if you think about that, that Basha job, when that job opened up, there was a talent pool in that Basha job pool that administration had. They had some good coaching people put in for that job. Some coaches with some big names put in for that job. What's that?
It really makes you scratch your head and wonder what direction some of the best coaches in the state are going to be going towards, because it's just getting tougher and tougher out there. I mean, it's almost like the college expectations that you got to win championships or get darn near close, or you need to move on. And, you know, it's high school. That's wrong on several levels.
Yeah, but that's not even the case, because at the college level, I mean, it's not about winning championships or move on. It's about having some success and being able to do things the right way. And some of these coaches are doing things the right way and having success, and they're still getting pushed out.
Yeah, and some of them are, you know, deciding to leave. I talked to Coach Longwin the day he stepped down, and it had nothing to do with the school or any outside influence. He said the administrators there were great. It's just he was commuting, and he had the opportunity to switch teaching from Chaparral, where he was teaching at now, over to Tempe next year, and he just wasn't prepared to make that switch and drive across town so he could teach at the same place he was coaching. He's got some boys that are, you know, grade school age, getting ready to enter middle school, and he just wanted to enjoy time with his family. So, you know, the reasons are varied, but there is a little bit of a theme running through most of them.
Well, and there's a couple of jobs that I know they're going to open up, and one of them is a very prominent job, and it's going to be a shocker.
Yeah,
it's going to be a shocker,
and especially with the success. But I think if we're talking about the same one, I think once it happens, people won't be – they'll be shocked, and then they'll sit there and go, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's go ahead. It's going to be fun to watch the carousel as it starts to move, because, you know, some of these jobs, I mean, a lot of people look at them and think, oh, well, you know, that's a good job. Not so much. You can look at it from the outside, but once you get under the hood and you find out that the engine isn't what you think it is because of the model of the vehicle that you're trying to purchase, you may want to look elsewhere.
Well, and we've seen every year when all of these plum jobs open up, a lot of coaches use that as a stepping stone to move into what they feel is a nicer situation, maybe a nicer school, those types of things. So then you get a little bit of musical chairs going on, and if one job fills, more than likely, more times than not, another job's going to open up.
Right. Yep, you're right, because it's not a lot of assistant coaches moving up to the head coaching spots.
No, unfortunately.
So, right. Well, and some schools don't want assistant coaches. They want experienced coaches. And
well, I know some extremely good assistant coaches out there that should be coaches already, and I know some of them are already being, you know, bypassed for more of a named coach. And you know, it's, again, I get back to the point, it's just high school.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk playoffs, because we had a lot of good stuff happening during the playoffs this last week. On Valentine's Day, we had Cactus Shadows up in Notre Dame Prep to move on to play Sunny Slope in the second round of the playoffs, Sunny Slope being the number one seeded team in the Division II playoffs, and Sunny Slope got the win over Cactus Shadows. Neither one of us were surprised by that.
No.
And then you had Saguaro and Flagstaff, and we both picked Saguaro to move on. And Saguaro then ended up taking on the number 8-seeded Saguaro down in Tucson. And Saguaro and Tucson held serve, so now you have a 1-versus-8 matchup, Saguaro versus Sunny Slope. And
yeah,
that's going to be a matchup.
Saguaro went kind of, as we talked, and from my understanding, got pretty chippy there at the end. But
yeah, I heard about the technicals and ejections.
Tucson represented really well last week, so they got a lot to be proud of down there.
So who do you think moves into the Final Four from let's go down to the next one. Next one, we had Canyon Del Oro and Desert Edge meet up. Desert Edge got a three-point win over Canyon Del Oro, moved on to meet Shadow Mountain. And
the Edge is on fire. We talked about them last week about how they've been such a storied young program, and, boy, they're right back in the thick of things.
Yep, and there is Desert Edge, the number 12 seed, upending both Canyon Del Oro, who was a 21 seed, and Shadow Mountain, the number 5 seed, and they moved on to the Elite Eight. So you've got the Edge sitting and meeting up against the number 4th seeded Paradise Valley, who defeated Cholla Magnet, and Cholla actually beat Coconino, which actually surprised both of us. We did. We expected Coconino to get the win, but Cholla held home court and moved on, and Paradise Valley ended up getting a win there, which wasn't a big surprise to either one of us.
Yeah, Coco went out in the first round of their section. Remember, I picked them to win their whole section. Now they went out in the first round of state, so wheels kind of fell off on that deal.
Yeah, they had a slide towards the end of the season. I don't know if there was something that took place as far as players being hurt, you know, dinged up or whatever, but that's what we're looking at here. Now, I'm going to get your pick here for the top half of that bracket moving into the Final Four. Who do you see moving in with Saguaro and Sunny Slope?
Well, I got to go with Slope. They're just they've been playing great all year. They've been playing great now. So I'll go with the sure pick on that one. They got one of the best guards in the state. They're clicking.
And this is going to be a good matchup in the Final Four, no matter who comes out of this bottom half of the bracket. You've got Desert Edge and Paradise Valley. John, who are you picking to move on?
Well, I picked Paradise Valley to win the whole thing, so I got to stick with them. But, man, if the Edge isn't raising some eyebrows, nobody is. But,
yeah,
you know, Paradise Valley is looking very good. They are who I thought they were. So as long as they can keep that consistency, I still think they could be the team to beat. So I'll take the Trojans.
And I'm taking the Trojans as well. But in a note, just to say this, because of what we were talking about earlier, the Edge is being run right now by an assistant coach who has the interim title.
Yeah, he's bucking title. He should have the job already.
But he's not going to have that job, John. I know who's going to get that job. I'm not going to say anything, but it's a coach that just recently became freed up. And we're going to leave it on that note. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah,
and we're going to go to commercials.
There's a guy that's been coaching his tail off all season. Look what he's done in the playoffs. He's already just doing a fantastic job. So that kind of sucks, if you ask me.
Well, but he'll have that to add to his portfolio when he walks into one of these other jobs that's opened up, and then that's
true.
Where you get somebody who wants you. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, joined right now by John Perryman of ArizonaVarsity.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Play ball.
If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, talking baseball with Jim Leyritz, is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. Scott Lovely. Right now we're joined by John Perryman of ArizonaVarsity.com, and we're going to talk about the bottom half of the Division II state playoff bracket in the boys' sections. Now, Section 2, and the first matchup that we're going to talk about is Amphi versus Copper Canyon, and the funny thing is last week, John, you and I were split on that. We didn't know which way to go on this game, so you went with Amphi, I went with Copper Canyon, and you got me by 2 points.
That, yeah, I guess, was a barn burner. She had to hit a buzzer beater and put me in the winner's bracket.
So Amphi moved on to play against Sierra Linda, and Sierra Linda kept things rolling as they scored 59 and held Amphi to 36 to move on to the Elite Eight. And then the next matchup down below that, Amphi Copper Canyon, was Queen Creek and Greenway. We both picked Greenway to move on, as they did, 60-42, and met up with South Point Catholic, and South Point Catholic handled business at home as they beat Greenway to move on into the Elite
That's
Eight.
So now we have a little bit.
You know what? I was really surprised, but at the same time, South Point Catholic at home, you know, they were a sixth seed. You know, it's hard to beat a team at home in the playoffs, especially if there's a good atmosphere at home.
Yeah, but you know what? That still surprises me. Greenway's just got three or four quality players. Not that South Point doesn't, but that one surprised me a bit.
Well, evidently, they just have put enough points on the board. 48 points is not enough to win a playoff game.
No.
So Sierra Linda and South Point Catholic is a matchup at jobbing.com and an Elite Eight. And then we move down below to see who the bracket is that's going to be opposing them. We've got Prescott and Poston Butte. Man, Poston Butte opened up a can on Prescott. Both of us picked Poston Butte to move on. Even though I thought the big fella could be an impact, he wasn't. Poston Butte moved on to face Nogales, who was sitting and waiting, and Nogales just squeaked by your hometown pick, Poston Butte, 59-57. And then the matchup down below that was Agua Fria at 18 versus Raymond Kellis. And, man, Agua Fria handled business by getting a 65-63 win over Kellis. And you know what? I picked Agua Fria. My friend, you picked Kellis.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that, and I commented that Agua Fria's got one of the best backcourts I've seen all season. And, you know, they're not real big on size, but they get after it and go, and they know how to score in bunches. So I'm an Owl fan, so even though I didn't pick them, I'm pleasantly surprised.
And Agua Fria held serve again as they went down to Catalina Foothills and got a win 82-70 over Catalina.
That was a shocker.
At Catalina Foothills High School. So now the Elite Eight wrapped up here is South Point Catholic versus Sierra Linda. And then the team that's going to meet them, the matchup for that team is going to be Agua Fria versus Nogales. John, who are you picking to move forward to the Final Four?
Well, I'm going with Sierra Linda. Again, the safe bet. Those guys have just been at the top of the heap all year long. And I think, you know, they've got a few more weapons and a little bit more size. Bottom half of the bracket, you know what? I picked them yesterday. I'm going with the Owls.
Okay, so did I. I went with the Owls, and I'm also going with Sierra Linda. So we got the same here. We got Sierra Linda, and we have Agua Fria going through to the Final Four, which is going to be a great, great matchup because both these teams seem to put some points on the board. I'm impressed by everything I'm hearing about Sierra Linda, and I have not gotten out to see them in the West Valley, but I'm definitely going to see them at jobbing.com. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Great venue of games at ASU and Jobbing this week.
Yeah. So now here we go. We've got one game to pick here. We've got to pick the championship game. Who's going to be in the championship game?
Well, who did I have moving on the top bracket? Paradise Valley.
Paradise Valley, yep.
And Sierra Linda. I think they meet up in the big game, and I'm going with the Trojans all the way, baby.
Oh, man. You know what? I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to agree with you. I just think that Coach McGowan's I just think Coach McGowan's team is gonna take care of business. So I think Watson's a ball player, and he's playing well at this point. So I'm going to have to go the same way.
Well, you know, we watched them. We called one of their games, and they're just one of those teams that as long as they stay together, very hard to beat.
Okay, real quick, because we've got one segment left? No, we've got two left. Okay, good. All right, so let's see here. We've got now we're into the Division One brackets, and I tell you what, the Division One bracket, in my opinion, had the game, one of the best high school basketball games I have seen in a number of years, and I was a part of the other one, and we'll talk about that. The first matchup of the playoff games on Valentine's Day was Red Mountain versus Mountain Point. Mountain Point got the win, 85-64, were playing very well, moved on, and they were set against the number one seed, number 16 Mountain Point against number one Corona del Sol, and that game was off the hook, John. The best
crazy
high school basketball game I've seen in a very long time, Mountain Point and Corona del Sol, double overtime, and Corona del Sol wins by 1 point, 66-65.
Yeah, it's on the AIA 365. If you want to treat yourself to something, go on there and check that out, because instant classic for sure.
I sent you a text. I said, are you here at this game early on in the game? Because you could tell it was going to be one of those games. And that game was just absolutely unbelievable. And here's the thing. We were talking about Fowler Defend with Steve Fenimore a couple weeks ago on my show. And, you know, with 10 seconds left to go, you're up by three. The other team has the ball. Do you foul or do you defend? Well, I'm standing there yelling, foul, foul, foul.
Yeah,
Mountain Point defended. And they hit that deep three to tie it up and send it into overtime. I was sick to my stomach. And the statistics bear out that if you don't foul, the chances of losing are greater. And you know what? I was so sick to my stomach to see that happen to my friend Aaron Wendler. And yet it was a great basketball game.
Yeah, he's been on the short end of some tough losses, going back to Chaparral's loss in the playoffs to Fairfax in overtime or double overtime, whatever that crazy game was. So,
yeah
but you know what? Mountain Point, boy, everybody was talking them up for a reason, and they really came to play.
Yeah, both of us picked Mountain Point to move on, and then we picked Corona del Sol to move on to the Elite Eight, and they did. Sunnyside and Brophy, man. Brophy slip sliding all over the place, lost that game 73-69 with Tim Kempton out. And so now we have a Sunnyside Millennium matchup. Millennium handled their business 68-58 and moved on to match up against Corona del Sol in the Elite Eight this week. All right, so the next matchup was Buena and Deer Valley. We both picked Buena to move on, and Buena handled their business and moved on to match up against the awaiting Desert Mountain Wolves. And Desert Mountain got a solid win there at 84-40. Desert Mountain may just be clicking at the right time of the year. And I said in my preseason picks, Desert Mountain is one of the most dangerous teams of the year based on Rolando Rhymes' play. Then you have... go ahead.
I've been riding Desert Mountain all year. You know, they've had a few glitches, but I'm sticking with them still too.
All right, so then we have Highland and Dobson, and you know what? I picked Highland to move forward. You picked Dobson.
I picked
to win.
Dobson.
Yep, Dobson got the win 63-54, and the matchup against Mesa. Mesa held serve at home 68-54 over Dobson. So now we have a repeat matchup, Desert Mountain and Mesa in the Elite Eight. And I tell you what, the top half of that bracket is a powerhouse. You've got Millennium, number 8, with number 1, Corona del Sol, and number 5, Desert Mountain, with number 4, Mesa. John, who are you picking to move forward into the Final Four?
Well, I started paying attention to the Tigers a couple weeks ago for good reason, and they've shown why they're where they are. But I'll go with Corona in that matchup. And then I was at the Mesa versus Desert Mountain game that went back and forth at Mesa about a month ago, where Desert Mountain squeaked out a 2-point win. But Mesa, dang, I hate to pick against them because I think they're as capable of anybody as winning the whole thing, but I'll go with Corona and Desert Mountain in that half.
You know, I'm torn, man. I'm really torn. It seems like Mesa's hitting their stride and they're playing very well. This is a matchup of two potential state champions right here. These two teams are unbelievable. And to have this happen in the Elite Eight is, it just makes me sick. But
I think whoever comes out of that game actually goes and wins the championship.
Do you really?
Yeah, because, well, I'm picking Desert Mountain to win the whole thing. But if by chance they get knocked off by Mesa, I would have to go with Mesa the rest of the way because I don't, they're good.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with my boy Shane. I think Todd's group is solid. That's going to be a toss up game, but I'm going to give the edge to Mesa.
That's a good pick.
All right. So, now the bottom half of the bracket, we're going to go over that, real quick because we have just a minute. So I'm going to give the quick overview of the bottom half of the bracket. Cienega moved over from defeating Westview 60-57, met up against Cienega. Cienega moved over, played Pinnacle. Pinnacle got the win, so Pinnacle's now in the Elite Eight. Desert Vista lost to Gilbert in the first round. Gilbert ended up upending Chaparral by 257-55 to set the matchup of Gilbert versus Pinnacle in the top half of the bottom of the Elite Eight. And so we've got a Gilbert Pinnacle matchup. John, what do you say is going to happen there?
Well, I'm going with Gilbert mainly for the fact that Bender's still a question mark. I'm hearing he may play in this game, but you know, even if he does play, he's hobbled, and I think he's such a key ingredient. Although Pickens and the other guys are superior as well, I just think Gilbert's got such a balanced attack and they've got a nice bench. So I'm going to go with Gilbert.
Okay, so you're going with Gilbert moving forward. You know what? Man, that's going to be a good matchup. But you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I think Gilbert's going to go ahead and squeak past Pinnacle. I think that's going to be one of those 64-62 or 64-66 type games, and it could go overtime. It's going to be one of those battles. I don't see anybody running away with that.
Me neither.
And I do want to point out to you before we go to break real quick that I did pick Cienega, you picked Westview.
You got me there.
Yeah, got you there. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the bottom half of the bracket. Then we're going to pick our champion at the Division I level. You want to stay tuned. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, joined by John Perryman from ArizonaVarsity.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests a chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. Scott Lovely, joined right now by John Perryman from ArizonaVarsity.com, and we're talking about the last half of the bottom bracket for the Division I state playoffs in AIA. And as we look at this, we had the last two matchups we're going to talk about was the opening round matchup of Mountain Ridge versus Mesa, 23 versus a 22. And John, you called it. You said Mountain Ridge was playing very hot. I picked Mountain View to move forward, and Coach Ernst, I just couldn't go against him. But Mountain Ridge ended up getting the win, moving on 54-45, and they ended up meeting the number 7th seeded Hamilton, sitting lying and waiting for them to show up. And
yeah. I think you borderline called me crazy.
Kinda. I wouldn't doubt it.
You know what? It doesn't surprise me the way they've been playing. Now, the Hamilton game surprised me with Hamilton having a fairly comfortable lead into the fourth quarter. But, man, they chipped away, and they had an opening, and they took advantage of it. So props to Coach Lopez and his team.
So so Mountain Ridge ended up beating both Hamilton and Mesa, or Mountain View Mesa. And I tell you what, they're giant slayers right now. So you have Mountain Ridge moving on, and Coach Lopez has done a great job putting his team in the Elite Eight. But not to our surprise, Marcos Deniza beat Ironwood. We both kind of picked that. And then we said lying in wait was Cesar Chavez, and Chavez was going to handle Marcos Deniza, and that's exactly what they did. So now
had to come back to win that one. That was touch and go all the way, and Marcos had a great chance to win that game, and it slipped away.
So now we have our Elite Eight matchups on February 19th. The Elite Eight matchups are Corona del Sol versus Millennium. You have Desert Mountain versus Mesa. You have Gilbert versus Pinnacle. And you have Mountain Ridge versus Chavez. Now, John, we got Gilbert moving on in the top half of that bottom bracket. Who do you have moving on between Mountain Ridge and Chavez?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Cesar Chavez. As long as Pablo Rivas is playing, big caveat there because he's the nucleus of that team. I was told that he was injured, and I haven't heard whether he's going to play or not. But Coach Lee's got a good team, and I think Mountain Ridge has really had an incredible season. If anybody follows their program for the last 10 years, it's just been all over the place, and they've finally got some stability, so I think they're in good hands. But I got to give this one to Cesar.
Yeah. This is what, Lopez's third year there? Fourth year?
I want to say second.
Huh. No, I think it's his third.
Is it his third?
I can't remember. Yeah, it may be his third year there. But he's done a great job. Put that program back on the right track. And a program that was pretty much all but dead.
I was thinking of his brother. But, yeah, shoot. You know what? They could be the giant killer again and end up in the Final Four. Wouldn't surprise me. But
yeah.
I'll go with the safer seed. Pick and pick Caesar.
A 23 seed in the Elite Eight. Who would have thought? Yeah. And now, if this isn't, this is a perfect example as to why we should open up the playoffs.
Well, we talked about how crazy D1 and D2 are going to be. This just pretty much tells you. We knew Division One was going to be exciting and completely, basically unpredictable, even in round one, because there were such great teams seeded 9 through 24. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
So here's the thing. I'm looking at this bracket, and, you know, I know people are thinking, oh, he's going to pick Mountain Ridge. No, I'm not. I think Mountain Ridge was a surprise last week. I don't think they're a surprise anymore. I think Chavez is preparing themselves for Mountain Ridge, and I think Chavez goes ahead and wins. So I think right now we have a Final Four matchup. You and I agree, Corona del Sol and Mesa, Gilbert and Chavez. And
no, I got Desert Mountain. You've got Mesa.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You've got Desert Mountain. I've got Mesa. And so who do you have going on in the top half of that? Corona, Desert Mountain?
Desert Mountain.
All right. So Desert Mountain for you. And I'm going to say, Corona and Mesa. That's a tough matchup. You know what? After what Corona was able to do against, I'm going to go with Corona. I'm gonna
going
go
for that repeat run.
Yeah, I just think that they're on a hot streak right now. All right, Gilbert and Chavez, who are we going with? Who are you going with?
I'm gonna go with Gilbert. I think they've got some size that'll be to their advantage.
I think this is Jay Casario's year. I'm going with Gilbert. I see him in the finals, and if you've got a Gilbert Desert Mountain final, that's going to be an awesome matchup. A Gilbert Corona final is going to be another fun matchup. I see Gilbert beating both teams.
I've got Desert Mountain going the whole way. Coach Fazio's probably not happy with me right now, but
I know Todd's going to say, why are you picking against me? Todd's going to ask me, why are you picking against me, man?
No, I'm picking for him. He never likes it when I pick for him.
All right, so there we have. That's our matchups. I got Gilbert winning it against Corona, and you've got
Desert Mountain, beating Gilbert.
All right, so there are our picks. We'll see what's up this next week. First games are the 19th, which is tomorrow night, at Wells Fargo and at jobbing.com. So it'll be interesting to find out. I have a game, South Mountain. We play Arizona Western tomorrow night. So I'll be checking Twitter to find out what scores are and what's going on after the game's over with. And then Final Four is the 21st, which is Thursday. And championship games are the Saturday, the 23rd. So get out and support some high school basketball. And before we go, John, I want to get from you real quick. What do you think about the Mike Montgomery situation?
I think they're blowing it a little bit out of proportion. Obviously something he probably shouldn't have done, but it's not a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said at the start of the show. So, all right, buddy, anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just looking forward to, we don't talk about much. Maybe we can throw in some small ball talk next week and summarize that a little bit, because there's some really great action going on in D2 or in D3 and D4. So we got to give the small ball guys a little bit of love.
Yeah, and you know what? There was a 16 that beat a number one seed in that Division III tournament, I think it was. So
yeah,
definitely
Window Rock
talk about that.
Didn't get out of the first round.
Yep. Well, we'll talk about that next Monday. All right. I want to thank you for joining us, John.
Thanks for having me.
All right. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and boy, I tell you what. News. There's a lot of stuff going on. My condolences to the Buzz family. I'm a lifetime Laker fan, and it's sad news. Get out and support some high school basketball this week. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We're out of here this week. Peace.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.